Welcome to TV Times 3, episode 432. On this episode, we'll be talking about San Diego Comic-Con 2023. We'll each talk a little bit about the panels and press rooms we did, what outside activations we visited, and more. You can find the full show notes with start times for each segment at tvtimes3podcast.com/432. I'm Jason the TVholic from tvholic.com.
I'm Lynn from tvtimes3podcast.com.
And I'm Kyle from nodereruns.net.
Well, thank you both for joining me to talk a little bit about our San Diego adventures at Comic-Con.
This is like 2 weeks in a row.
Well, it'll be more like a couple weeks between episodes here once this is posted, but still a lot sooner than the previous interval between episodes. So we'll be talking about San Diego Comic-Con, and we'll each go over a bunch of questions quickly. We'll talk about Comic-Con in general, some of our favorite panels, press rooms, our favorite activations, if we got a chance to visit the convention floor, some of the events at night, a little bit of TV news that came out of the con, some of the strange or weird things we saw, as well as what kind of swag and stuff that we were able to get our hands on, the best thing we ate, and anything else fun worth mentioning. And with that, we'll start at the beginning with you, Kyle. What did you think about, as a relatively longtime veteran of going to Comic-Con, what did you think about this year's Comic-Con with no actors or writers for the most part because of the strikes?
It definitely felt a little different because you weren't like seeing celebrities around every corner. Even the Captain Kirk shoeshine guy wasn't in costume. Like, maybe that's a SAG thing. Who knows?
Maybe he didn't want to get confused because Shatner was actually there at Comic-Con.
It definitely felt a little different. I mean, last year felt more like it was back in full swing just with masks. This year we were kind of missing. It felt just
Kyle,
as crowded.
There's always masks at Comic-Con.
A different kind of mask. But this year it was just as crowded as ever, but we're just missing some of the celebrities. Like, not all of us got our run-ins with celebrities this year. I didn't get any photos or selfies with any celebs this year.
Just me. We'll talk about that later.
But overall there was still plenty of stuff to do, whether it was activations or the show floor was very busy all the time. So there was still more than enough to do. Even though a bunch of panels got canceled, there were still panels and press rooms that had producers and directors instead of the actors this time. So there was still quite a bit. I didn't find myself wishing I had something to do. I was always busy or taking some time. I actually had more time to just like relax, I think, this time, instead of jumping from press room to press room to press room like I normally do.
Yeah, for me, I think that was the not having gone last year. So the last year I had gone was 2019. The difference being is that because there were no actors and writers there, there was not a lot of TV press rooms to interview people about their shows and stuff like that. So, but what that did give is a chance to actually go back into the convention center and actually get into some panels, which I was able to hit at least a panel every day, along with all the other activations and things that we were doing. And, so I don't know, it was differently fun because it got to do, well, almost like regular Comic-Con stuff. You know, not everybody gets to go sit in press rooms, but it's sometimes that's not even as fun. You're just in a ballroom at a hotel for the whole day with the random celebrity and actors being brought to your table to, which is also fun, but not the normal, Comic-Con experience. So how about you, Lynn?
Yeah, being the relative newbie to the group of attending Comic-Con only once before in 2019, geography was not my friend. I clocked, I don't know, what do we think? It was like over 45 miles of walking from the time we left Seattle to the time we got home. So it was a lot of running around back and forth. So while Kyle says it was more relaxing, I think probably my last minute planning made it a little bit more geographically undesirable. But I agree. Like, I think it gave people more of an opportunity, and certainly businesses were really happy about it because people were actually not waiting in line for things. They were actually on the convention floor buying things or going to restaurants or attending other panels. And I think that was probably a really positive thing for the fact that the strike was on. People, took advantage of other things at Comic-Con that they might not necessarily have done in the past. I was on the convention floor a few times just walking through because I wanted the air conditioning and on a quest to get some things. But I think it was a really good thing. And from all accounts of some favorite places that we go to, that business was really hopping. So.
Yeah, it really was. Anecdotally, from a couple articles I've read and just hearing some of the people on that last day talking, and that one guy that was at the corner that ran into a friend of his that was talking about how well his con had gone for, at his booth, which he was, it looked like, some sort of comic book artist or some such thing like that. It does look like things went really well sales-wise for people actually selling, toys, comics, pins, whatever, books and everything on the show floor. And, I actually went into the show floor twice, which is not normal because usually...
Same here.
If you're sitting in the Bayfront doing press rooms all day, you can't go into the convention center, let alone the show floor, and walk around. So with that, we'll move on to the next question, which was, what were your favorite panels and or press rooms you attended each day? Normally, this question is mostly about press rooms, but this time, for me, I didn't even do one. I didn't even do any press rooms, so it was all panels for me.
Shame.
So how about you, Kyle?
So I only did two press rooms and maybe like three panels the whole time. So the press rooms, I thought both were actually pretty good. The first one was the Max original animation press room, which was for Adventure Time, Fiona and Cake, Young Love, and Harley Quinn. So we got to talk with some of the directors and producers of those shows. So Adventure Time, Fiona and Cake is a new series that's coming following these two characters that we met sometime in one episode of Adventure Time. Young Love is a follow-up for Hair Love, which was that Oscar-winning short. So it follows that family. And then Harley Quinn it just started its fourth season a couple days ago. And then the other press room that I did was it's a Babylon 5 animated movie that's coming up, I think in about 2 weeks. It's coming direct to video, so streaming or VOD and disc. The one weird thing about that press room was everything was going good. We were talking to the creator of the series. For some reason, he was allowed to talk about this animated movie, but someone brought up the fact that they're making these, they're doing some remastered Blu-rays of the original series. And all of a sudden the conversation came to a screeching halt because he said he couldn't talk about that because that was Writers Guild stuff. But for some reason, even though he wrote the animated movie, he was allowed to talk everything about that because somehow that falls under Animation Guild. So that was just a little weird figuring out what you can talk about. But I mean, overall, it sounded like an interesting idea, especially where some of the cast members are either passed away or couldn't do it. So it's the animated movie sounds like a great way to revisit these characters and give fans something that they've been looking for a long time. And then the panels that I had gone to, a Crapopolis screening. So that's an animated show that's coming to Fox. It's already been picked up for like 3 seasons now. They were there last year, but this year they showed they showed 2 episodes of the series. It looks like it'll fit in well with the Sunday animation. They also gave us like a bag full of snacks and a toga t-shirt to wear during the screening. And then I'd also attended the Twisted Metal screening. So that just dropped on Peacock today, the entire first season. But we got to see the first episode of the show. It's basically an adaptation of an old PS3 or PS1 video game that stars Anthony Mackie. It looks like it should be pretty fun. You guys were also at that screening, right?
Yeah, that was on... Well, for my list of stuff, that was my top, Thursday night? It was late Thursday night, 10 o'clock, that they screened it. But that was my favorite panel of that day, which is one of the things that happened with things getting canceled is panels got canceled, but some of the panels turned into screenings of the episodes or of some episodes. In this case, it was of a new show coming. In the case of other things, it was, you know, like the next episode that was going to air or whatever.
One thing I found amusing at that was they had a whole intro by Anthony Mackie, but they made sure at the bottom it said pre-recorded in June to make sure, look, we're not breaking any strike stuff. Like he did this beforehand.
Yeah, it's pretty much a stipulation in those things. For like Comic-Con or even sort for some of the press junkets that they did beforehand and stuff like that was that when it gets used, that it has to be stipulated if we're on strike, that this was recorded before the strike. And, so yeah, it was right there. They had a few different ones, like they had them talking before the Good Omen screening, as well, and answering some questions afterwards. On video, but it was kind of strange, but you know, you can't do it now, but you can do it ahead of time while you were not on strike yet to be used later specifically for Comic-Con. Cause he was talking to a Comic-Con audience. That was what it was recorded for. So yeah, a lot of this stuff, there's a lot of minutiae in and out of some of this strike stuff and how it can be used or when or whatnot. Anything else, Kyle?
My last panel that I went to was The Continental from the World of John Wick, which is an upcoming 3-part prequel to all the John Wick movies. It's going to be on Peacock. And that was easily my favorite panel of the whole week. So they showed us a bunch of clips. They talked to some of the action directors, and this show looks just as action packed and ridiculous as the John Wick movies are. Like, it's amazing that they're doing this on like a streamer budget, because it looks like they show us one clip that was a super long. It felt like a single take, some guy moving up and down a stairway and knocking out people. And the action just looked wonderful. Like, I can't wait to see this show when it airs.
Yeah, that was an interesting one for me, because I haven't seen all the John Wick ones, but I was excited because I love action. And the fact that the assistant director, who is a stunt performer, kind of talked about how they prepped for it and how they did it. And I think he even said, from a production design, he kind of said it was, I think he said it was like looking at it from north, south, east, west within the set, and to make sure that everything was being used. And that was pretty incredible. I mean, as you said, Kyle, like the amount of action that's in that, it's kind of shocking that it's that much, and the production values are that incredible for something that's going to a streaming platform.
Yeah, that was my, well, at least it was my top panel for on Friday. But I think overall, my top panel was the Duff Goldman panel on Sunday morning.
That's because they fed you.
Well,
and he got a selfie.
He gave a cookie.
A really good selfie.
He gave a cookie at the end of the one.
It's because I wasn't there to take his photo. If I had taken the photo, it would have been horrible.
Yeah, neither of us would have been smiling in it somehow. But, yeah, I already talked a little bit about the Twisted Metal screening. That was a lot of fun. The series looks like, the action comedy with some, mystery in the background. And I'm definitely going to be checking out the rest of that on Peacock. And that was on Peacock, right?
Yeah, all the episodes dropped are already as of our recording.
Yeah, and then the only other one that I went to, well, the main one that I went to was the Star Trek panel, which just turned into they showed the next episode of, was it Star Trek?
Lower Decks?
No, it was
Strange New Worlds?
Yeah, Strange New Worlds, but it was the crossover episode with Lower Decks that they showed, and which was supposed to come out this week, but they dropped it for everybody later on Saturday after the panel was over. And then they also showed a little bit from the upcoming musical episode, and they showed some, some Lower deck stuff, and some longer clips than they would maybe normally show of some things. But that one was fun, just like the Twisted Metal one is. Sometimes it's just you're watching it with, 1,500, 2,000 of your closest friends, which is a pretty large audience to be watching a TV show with. That's way bigger than you would be watching, even a movie or some such thing usually. So a giant audience watching a thing, the synergy that happens with that is always a lot of fun. And, well, the Duff Goldman one was interesting just because it was supposed to be multiple chefs talking about food competition shows and food fandom. And apparently, whatever happened, Duff was the only one that ended up there. So it ended up being basically a conversation, an interview with him for almost an hour. And the guy's just super charming and funny and can just spin tale after tale after tale. So, like, it was a lot of fun. And then he made cookies for the whole audience that was at his panel and then said, "Hey, I'm going to be outside. So if you exit all and anybody who wants to, I can give you a cookie that I made and take a picture if you want." And so there was like 300 or so people in that room, and pretty much every one of them got in line to get a cookie and a picture. That's right.
And who was first in line?
I was, because they said, because the panel was ending and they only have 10 minutes to switch out, get people out and start people coming in for the next panel that was happening right after that. And so they announced, like, okay, this was going to happen. And so I got up. I was sitting at an end of a row. And so I got up and started to walk over. And then Duff started talking about something again. I think he was talking about what type of cookie he had made and why, and nobody else moved because he was still talking. So by the time he actually was done and they started exiting the room, I was the only one standing at the exit. So I was first in line, which is probably good because I definitely, while it was cool, I don't think I would have stood at the end of the line necessarily to.
Oh, you would have.
To
you
do
would
it. Have. and so that was cool. And the picture ended up being really good. So that was just sort of the random, I don't know, sort of most fun kind of panel for me. How about you, Lynn?
Yeah, well, you folks covered a good chunk of the ones that I did. The Twisted Metal, the Continental was really cool. Also did the Max Animation with Kyle as well. And I was so worried that I was going to ask Matthew Cherry, Oscar winner Matthew Cherry, that I was going to call him the wrong name because I kept writing down Mark Cherry from Desperate Housewives fame. So I'm glad I did not do that. That was pretty inspiring. I just think he's a great guy. And just to see the effects of that, the original short, Hair Love, in the theaters and how much representation matters was a pretty cool thing. And he sort of talked about that a little bit and how it's being shown in schools, which is really cool. So I haven't had the chance to see Young Love yet, but definitely am psyched to watch that a little bit more. And then the big thing for me, I'm all business all the time, I guess, was what was supposed to be a one-on-one interview ended up becoming almost like a press conference for NAVA, which is the National Association of Voice Actors, in relation to AI. And it was a real eye-opener. I mean, I know that, you know, that there is damage from AI, but I think having that press conference and having a full house there, along with the National Executive Director and Chief Negotiator from SAG-AFTRA, Duncan Crabtree Ireland there, it kind of put everything in perspective. They were talking about, from a voice actor perspective, how, you know, AI is seriously impacting their work, where one of the voice actors, I'm just double checking my Sissy, I'm trying to think of her last name. She was talking about the fact that, Sissy Jones, sorry. She was mentioning, you know, somebody taking your voice and in tossing it into AI and making it say some horrible things or, you know, pornographic things or whatever, and imagining your kids hearing that or your family members hearing that, and how that could, you know, essentially ruin your career if you have, you know, sort of follow a sort of a moral code. I don't know, moral code is probably not the best choice of words, but like essentially, you know, AI can destroy your existing portfolio because people assume that you are a certain type of caliber of actor or whatever that does, you know, kids programming or whatever, or animation or video games, and then have that happen. It's a pretty significant thing. And the other thing that was really eye-opening was the fact that they were talking about how it will impact the entry level or the people that are sort of starting out in voice acting or in acting in general, because one of the things that is the big ticket thing with the strike is the fact that with AI, they could basically pay you for one day's work and then use your image or your voice forever and use it for everything else, and you get paid once. So that was a big thing that they discussed. Another big eye-opener for that too was that the Duncan, the director from SAG-AFTRA, was mentioning that he's had inquiries come in where studios and different, I guess, folks are trying to convince new actors that aren't members to, you know, fly them in, you know, pay for their flight to come to red carpets and different things and stuff like that. So that was really quite surprising to hear. But there was a lot of support in that session. You know, they were talking about, you know, people doing fun things like putting somebody else's voice on the SpongeBob, you know, cartoon or whatever. And they're saying, you know, we have a sense of humor, But, you know, there's a balance so that that organization is really working to try to put terminology and contracts and everything to protect everybody. So that was really interesting from a business and just from a fan perspective. And then another one that I went to that I thought was kind of interesting was talking about shooting underwater photography and footage like that. The interesting thing there was they didn't have any footage to show, and they had people that had shows on Nat Geo and everything. So I don't know if it was because of the strike or that they didn't get approvals beforehand or whatever, but it would have been really kind of cool to see some of the footage that they had shot and just the, you know, the scale of shooting something underwater. And, you know, all of the people that were there on the panel were, you know, expert, you know, scuba instructors and had gone through all the training, and then also had a pretty significant science background too. Some of them were thinking of doing their PhD in, you know, marine biology and things like that. So that was really interesting from that perspective. And you guys had mentioned the other fun ones like Twisted Metal and Continental. So yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I have to say some of those panels, like the Continental, with there being no actors there, it was almost more interesting somewhat, because sometimes I'm more interested in the behind the scenes things. And so to listen to them talk about how they set up some of these action sequences and stuff like that was probably more in depth and more than you would have gotten had there been.
Yeah, if they had Anthony Mackie and Mel Gibson up there, they would have taken over. Yeah.
So that would have been that would have been a lot different there too. Cause I went to one other panel that was a bunch of writers that I wish I had known, or well, it probably still wouldn't have mattered because I needed to leave for something else. So I didn't catch the last 30 minutes of the panel because it was like a 90-minute panel. But it was a bunch of writers talking about the process of writing, and a lot of like how, and so it was a bunch of going through like how they got into writing. So you could see like there's lots of different ways in. But also, right when I had to leave, they were doing a thing of like going through a pitch process, and they were kind of going from one writer to the next. And when they got to somebody to come up with the idea of what the show was going to be that they were pitching, and then, you know, the next writer was supposed to take that pitch and be like, okay, and then you take it to, you know, the studio or whatever. And they were going through the whole process there, but now they had, and so the show idea was, which is why I wish I didn't have to leave, because I would have liked to seen how the rest of this played out with how they would have gone about it. But the pitch the guy put out there was, I can't remember exactly. It was somebody ended up, oh, that's what it was. It was the call girl and the Pope. And it was, the Pope would sneak out in regular clothing at night, and he comes across this call girl whose friend has been murdered. And then he ends up helping to solve the crime, leading into a show of where the call girl and the Pope become detectives.
Making it up on the spot?
Yes, they were making it up on the spot.
So it's like a reboot of the Father Dowling Mysteries. Yes, but
except it was with the Pope coming out incognito to help solve crimes in the middle of the night. But yeah, it just came up with this like random thing, because I don't know if the moderator had talked beforehand, or like that he was going to, because it didn't sound like it the way the writers responded to the thing. And so when they got to that part with that pitch, then everybody else had to take it, you know, now what would you do? This is your pitch. How would you pitch it? You know, and stuff. But it was just an absurd, but also could kind of work, you know, in a weird way, type of out there idea. But, you know, this was the random process. You had a bunch of writers in a room, you know, because that was one of the things they were talking about, is how in some of these places they've cut the writers' rooms down to, you know, almost nobody. And so you don't have the synergy in the room of pitching ideas and working through things and stuff like that. But as in that vein of types of panels that were there, they had some writers there, but they were talking about the process of writing, not about the things they had written. And even when they were like introducing the writers, they were like kind of saying what they had done, so you'd know what they were for, but it was like, but don't, you know, but they weren't really mentioning anything they were working on now, type of stuff. But yeah, that was also an interesting panel to have attended. And next up, we'll talk about activations. And we'll start with you, Kyle. You can go through your list of activations, and we'll jump on and talk, because we didn't all do them in the same day or the same order.
Okay, so the first thing I did on preview night was they had this Anne Rice's Immortal Universe, which was basically every year they usually have like a Walking Dead thing where they take over and they build like a street with zombies and stuff. But this time they built like a New Orleans street, and it was this immersive thing with actors that you went into this world and the people would interact with you. Like first when we walked in, we got rushed into a speakeasy where this guy was giving us a shots of an elixir of life, because basically it was all themed around Interview with a Vampire, or Interview with the Vampire, the TV series on AMC. And they also mixed in some Mayfair Witches, which is another show on AMC. So first we were whisked into this room with the speakeasy where this guy was selling us on this elixir of life. So we all got our shot of that, and then we walked out into the main courtyard, and there were different people interacting with us. There was like artists and prostitutes and like some musicians and things. They're all warning us, like, at the end of the street there's this mysterious house where Lestat lives, and you don't want to go there because it's people have been disappearing. And so we're getting all these warnings, but we were given a map when we first walked in. We were supposed to visit at least three different stations and get these punches on our map to say that we visited. And each one would give us like a little notebook at one, some sheet music at another. And then at the Mayfair Witch station, the lady was telling us all these different charms herbs and things that you could use to ward off spirits. And so we were given a choice there of which one we wanted, and there was instructions on how to use it. So we were just walking around this area and interacting. It was just like an immersive 30 minutes or so that we got to experience in here. At the very end, you end up with those vampires, and they're trying to seduce you and offer you like a posters. And since it was the press preview, we also got a nice bag of beignets at the end, which apparently I talked to some bitter people that went not during the press preview. And they're like, we didn't get beignets like you guys got. I was like, well, they're really good.
They were really good.
Lynn and I also went to that one. I like those more immersive or interactive type of activations. I thought they did a really good job, especially in the speakeasy. Like, you know, the guy gives, it's probably like a 5-6 minute speech, you know, in character of what's going on and stuff. And then you go out and there's multiple people out there, and they're all in character, and they have to stay in character for a little while because they're moving group after group through. And so at a certain point they sort of like reset and they go back to the beginning, and they do the whole bit again for like the next group through. But for each group, it was pretty well done. And I think, like Kyle, we did it on the Wednesday night, and so it was at night. And I think the night going through it at night was probably also a better experience than in the middle of the day going through it.
Yeah, definitely added to the mood.
What did you think about that one, Lynn?
Yeah, I think that was one of my favorite ones. Just, you know, I wish, you know, you take pictures and everything, but being in that full immersive experience, you think of all the work that goes into preparing these things for a week. In this case, it was in an existing building. Like, you walked up a set of stairs. It was sort of like this rooftop patio in a way, and then going into that speakeasy that Kyle mentioned. It's quite astounding what they do. And the actors that were part of it were really good. And I think I got a little too immersive in it. You know, I don't know what was in the elixir, but ended up doing tap dancing with the tap dancer in my big honkin' squishy shoes after walking a gazillion miles. So that was kind of amusing, and forgot everything I learned in tap lessons when I was a kid. Yeah. And just, you know, the little spots, the little interactions that you had, you know, with like the sort of like the card shark that was like the street performer that had, you know, a card game, and then, you know, find the little pebble underneath the walnut shells. And I don't know how many times I watched it and I still couldn't get it. You know, things like that. So you had, what I liked about that too, is because you had all these different little immersive experiences, not everybody was crammed in, you know, to one thing, except, you know, we went into the speakeasy, although there was still lots of space around. It gave people chances to mingle and wander about before they got to the end. But yeah, the actors in there were pretty good. There was only one person, I think, that was just trying to figure out their way because they didn't have a specific role within the little activation, which was really good.
I just like the cop that just would periodically come up and tell people to move along, or you better watch yourself or something like that. I got your eye on you.
In his New Orleans accent.
Yeah. That one was pretty good. What else did you do, Kyle?
So then the next day started off with a press preview of Hulu's Animayhem, which is basically all of their adult animated comedies. So it covered so many different shows from like The Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, Futurama, Family Guy, Archer. And I'm sure there's some others that I'm missing, but it was basically you walk through and there was lots of different photo ops. So when we first walked in, there was like a, what was the first thing? Oh, you walk in through this giant thing that looks like all the Futurama characters getting sucked in to a portal. And then you walk in and there's like couches for the Family Guy and the Simpsons that you can get your photo taken on. There was like a Bob's Burgers bar set up where you could either sit in the bar stool or stand behind the counter and get your photo taken. They had like a 360 photo that you could be in like Stewie's time machine. So you would stand there and it would spin around you and take this sort of video photo of you getting pulled into that time machine. Then you walked into the area where it was Futurama, and they just had tons of different things. They had like a giant slurm can you were holding. You could be sucked into the tubes to move around through the city. There was lots of different photo ops with cutouts of the various characters. Oh, there was also the Great North. You walked in there and there was like the Alanis Morissette constellation who would answer yes, no questions for the audience. And then there was like a hall of Rogers, so all of Rogers' different costumes from American Dad, they're just lined up and you walk down that hallway. There's also solar opposites, so you felt like you got shrunk and put in the wall. So then they had like a giant Starbucks cup you could get your photo taken in. There was like a giant mouse there and all kinds of other, like a big iPod and all this other stuff. So you could feel like you were shrunk down and part of that, the wall world for that show. I'm sure I'm missing shows. There seemed to be, there was like an Archer thing where you could stand there and get your photo taken like you're in that opening credits logo of Archer. So you're one of the spy outlines for Archer. That one, we have like mini donuts too. I don't know if that was a press preview thing, but they have those out. They look like little mini Homer Simpson donuts.
During the regular days, but they were handing out little Bob's Burger sliders and some fries.
We didn't get those. Maybe it was because I was there at like first thing in the morning. So yeah, they
maybe
had donuts.
Donuts were for morning people going through, and then they brought out burgers and fries later in the day.
Yeah.
Lynn and I also went and did that one in the middle of afternoon and went through most of those things. Didn't do the Family Guy 360 photo, but did pretty much the rest of the photo ops. I think some of them came out pretty good.
Yeah, that was the great thing about those. A lot of the activations is that they had staff or volunteers taking the photos for you. So it really moved things along. And most of them took really good photos too. So it helped speed up the process. And that one, when we went, Anna Mayhem was the great name for it, because not that it was mayhem, but just looking at the line was mayhem. It just went on for days. And it was absolute insanity.
I had one guy, this was during the press preview, who literally took 10 to 12 photos at every single one. He was like laying down doing glamour shots. One of them, he like ripped open his shirt and was taking shots. Like, it was ridiculous how long this guy was holding up the line, taking a million shots at every single photo op. So I can't imagine if that was happening with regular people as well, then the line would get ridiculous.
It would have gone around the gas lamp quarter, probably. Yeah, thankfully, right. they did it quickly. I mean, they just didn't take one photo, but thankfully, when we dropped in, they were doing that well.
And at the end of that, they gave us some cool swag, which may get mentioned later on at another question. But but after that one, I had some time to kill. So I saw like the only Murders in the Building station set up. I'm like, I'll go over there and ask. They said, oh, it'll only take 35 minutes. So I'm like, okay, I'll just stand here and wait 35 minutes. 2 hours later, I got to the front of the line. And basically all it was a little screen where you played a 20-second game of finding the clues. So there was up to 12 clues. You picked a location, and it would show you a scene, and you tapped on the screen trying to find all the different murderous clues. And it didn't matter how many you got in the 20 seconds. You were going to win something either way. So then the prize machine would spit out either a small box or a big box. And it was just random which one you would get. It didn't matter what your score was. It would just spit out a box. So it spit out the small box, open up. I was like, all right,
your
what was
swag.
This was going to be worth 2 hours waiting. What did I get? Open it up. It's a tiny little Only Murders in the Building pin and a box of Selena Gomez mascara. All right, that's what I was waiting for. Apparently the big box had a gut milk water bottle, which I would have preferred so much more than the mascara.
Yeah, well, but it's too bad this is not a video podcast, because man, would Kyle's eyes be popping right now.
I would be styling. But
so
that
styling.
That was not worth the wait. But fortunately, after that, so FX had this, they usually have like a big setup. So they had another big setup this year, which was for four different shows. They had it for Shogun, American Horror Story, What We Do in the Shadows, and a new show that's coming called A Murder at the End of the World. But fortunately for the press for that, it was a VIP tour. Like on the hour, every hour, they would take a different group through. So they would basically rush you up to the beginning of each thing. You got to skip all the lines, which was wonderful because it was a very hot day. This was like in the middle afternoon. So when we went there, so the Shogun thing, they had like a 3 or 5 minute samurai show, which happened to be at the time that, I guess they only did it four times a day, but it happened to be at the time that I went. So we got to see that there were people like swinging swords, and there was some woman who like gets killed. And then like it was just all kinds of like elaborate sword play and acting that way, not with words, but just like silent acting. And then the American Horror Story, you were whisked into like this wellness spa where they have you sit down in this room, and this woman suddenly comes out with this giant needle and like charges at you. And one woman in my group just started screaming so loud. People said they could hear it outside the activation. Like they could hear her screaming, and they were laughing when we came out of that. So that was just like for one big jump scare that they basically sat you down in this room just to suddenly surprise you. So then we went into the A Murder at the End of the World, which that also had a warning about a jump scare. So I'm like nervous the whole time that we walk in and it's like this, you feel like you're on a plane and they have you like touch, like use this thing to touch your fingerprints and unlock some door. I'm looking around paranoid now that something's going to jump out at us or something's going to attack us. Cause like after we were in the plane, then finally the door opened, no one really wanted to go. We went into like this room that was like a icy cave and we sat by this campfire. So again, I'm paranoid. I'm looking around. Something's going to jump out at us. They basically just showed us the trailer for the show and then we left. But like they build it up and make you feel like you're going to get attacked. And like it's all tense throughout the whole thing. So I think it was more building that up than actually doing anything to scare you. And then the last thing was like what we do in the shadows, just a few photo ops, and they had a little prize wheel you could spin. You could either win a popsicle or a beach ball. So as it was spinning, it ended up on the I was like, oh, so close, and the guy like knocked it over and gave me the beach ball instead. So I don't know if it was because I was a VIP or if he's just doing that for everyone, but I appreciate it because I didn't really need a popsicle. The beach ball looked cooler. So that was that one for the FX. Did you guys, that brings me through Thursday. I don't know if you guys had any.
Neither of us got to the FX one or the only murders in the building one.
You unfortunately had the mascara. Yeah.
I was just going to say,
maybe I would have got the big box. Jealous. I don't know.
I was not willing to try a 2-hour wait again to try for the big box.
Big box, no whammies. All right, so what else did you do on the next couple days?
So the next morning I had my press preview of the Quantum Leap headquarters. So basically what they did was they built this giant thing that looked like you were entering, like when you went in, there was like this big spiral entrance that you walked in, and then every person, like before we went in, they had you type in your name on a tablet and take your picture. So when we walked in, there were like 10 stations. Each one had someone's name and picture on it. Then the main character for Quantum Leap, which I can't remember his name, comes out and tells you, oh, there's been a mistake. All of the NBC shows have been mixed up. We got to go in and save them. You're going to be in. You're going to leap through all these shows and try to fix them. So then they have someone come out who's like hyping up all of us, telling us our mission and rushing us through the corridors as we enter the first station. So when we walk through the door, we find ourselves in a Law and Order episode. So we're on like a New York street. There's been some kind of journalist that's been murdered, and the cop that's there tells everyone, I'm going to split you into teams of two. You got to find a piece of evidence. So there's all these evidence markers on the ground, and each team of two has to find the piece of evidence that's in their section. So the first time I did it, my section, I had to find a flip phone. So I found that, put in the evidence bag, and she's like, oh, good job. Nobody uses that stuff anymore. So that's definitely evidence. And so we put that in the evidence bag and threw that in the thing. So then we got rushed out. Oh, before we left, then she's like, case closed. And like, and then a curtain opens on the wall and you see the executive produced by Dick Wolf logo on the wall. So we're rushed out of that back into the hallway. We're told, oh, something's happening. And then we get rushed into the next room and we're on The Voice. And so we have to all sing, Don't You Forget About Me. And so we're all singing that. And then the person spins around, the judge spins around, and it's like an intern that shouldn't be there instead of the judge. And then we're rushed off into the next room, back into the hallway. And then we're told, oh, finally, Chucky's escaped. And now we got to find Chucky and stop him. So then we end up in another room where it's like this storage room, and there's all these Chucky boxes on the wall, and there's all these scanners, and we have to start scanning UPC codes to figure out which box he's in. And so nothing seems to be working, and they're like, oh, why don't you guys check over in that area over there? And there's like a locker or something. And so as soon as someone scans that locker, it like bursts open. There's like a dead body in there. And so they're taking a video of this for your surprise reaction of when this thing bursts open. But then once we do that, they whisk us out into some room where we get our congratulations video that we've successfully completed our mission, and they hand everyone a pin for congratulations, and then you're exited out of that activation.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then your video didn't work, so you came back and did it again with us on Sunday.
Yeah, there was no surprise. Yeah, there was no surprise video, so I wasn't surprised the second time. So I went back when you guys did it on Sunday and did it all again. But I made sure I was in the back. I knew what was coming, so I knew this time the surprise video actually happened. But yeah, so I got it was pretty much the same thing. It was a different guy leading us around, but it was the same woman in the same actors in the other pieces, like the Law and Order and the voice.
Which person was better, the first host or the second one? Because I thought the host guy, he reminded me of I'm gonna forget it too, from Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. He looked like one of the guys from that, one of the love interests. And
I really liked the first woman I had. She reminded me of Ming-Na Wen. Like, she was just all super excited and like leading us around through all this stuff. So I really liked her energy that she had when she was leading us through all the different missions.
Yeah, that's the thing that people probably don't realize, too, is how many times these people have to go through this same thing, you know, and still keep it fresh with, like, what minimal lines and things that they have, you know, and to keep that energy up.
Well, they probably have multiple people as the person taking people through. Cause like once we're into the voice room, they're starting another group is coming in to go into the next thing. And so they're kind of keeping them moving through, but they, you know, they need a different person for each. So I wonder how many people they actually, you know, they had to have at least three probably to be able to, three or four to keep it rotating through.
I know they also had a different actor for like the Law and Order scene, because I saw somebody else's video and was a guy doing that. But I thought the woman we had was great. Yeah. Like she felt like a real character actress who could be on one of those shows. For sure.
When the activation is open from like 10 in the morning until like 5 or 6 at night, they probably can't have the same person. The same person's probably not going to be, especially some of those. Cause those weren't like when you were in sort of like the tunnel sections between each, that was making you seem like you were leaping with the lights and the, you know, sort of the smoky atmosphere. You know, you're covered, but all these other sections were open at the top. So, like, you're standing outside all day, basically, in some of these. So, yeah, they probably had a few different ones to switch through throughout the days and stuff. But I think that one was a pretty close call with the Immortals one, just because of the immersion into it. But this one had a more fun atmosphere to it and very clever way to... You're advertising Quantum Leap, but then three other shows as well. Like it was a good use of the space and stuff like that too. So I think that was probably my favorite one, and it just happened to be the one we did on the last day. What did you think of it, Lynn?
Yeah, I agree with everything. I think it was a really interesting way to integrate all those completely different shows. I mean, The Voice versus Quantum Leap versus, you know, oh my gosh, Dick Wolf shows. Oh my gosh, I'm almost forgot what they're called. That's how well it was integrated. Sorry, having a brain fart there. But yeah, just how they integrated it so well. I still think it would have been funny if like Chucky had killed somebody from The Voice and had spun around on The Voice chair, but that was what I was kind of secretly hoping for. The fact that Kyle had been in it before and it was Chucky and I didn't want to get scared. I think all of us were prepared for something to happen. So it was interesting to watch the video afterwards and none of us jumped when the thing popped out or when in the locker. So that was kind of funny. But yeah, and when you think about the fact that they did that integration. I mean, they were still doing last minute touch-ups, like right up until the bitter end. And it's not a huge space, and that they were able to like move people through it, do such a cool interactive thing. And then, you know, not even 5 minutes after you leave, you have the video and your images of the thing. I thought that was really, really well done and really unique, too.
It was definitely well put together. And but yeah, that was our sort of joke going into it, is what they were going to do is Chucky was going to kill somebody on The Voice, and then you were going to end up in Law and Order to have to solve the crime. It was like we were creating a complete story from one side to the other.
But they didn't hire us.
Yeah, to, but they didn't hire us for the,
because I didn't know, I couldn't remember Law and Order for some godforsaken reason. I couldn't remember the title of the show.
Well, I suppose technically it could be Chicago PD. I mean, it's still Dick Wolf.
Yes.
But yeah, that one was pretty good. So where did you head off to next, Kyle, after your...
I still have three more to go through, so...
Kyle's the activation king.
Yeah, what did you do between leaps, Kyle? Like,
Between leaps, next I headed over to Cozy TV's Lanford Days activation, which was basically... I never really watched Roseanne, but apparently this was based on an episode of Roseanne, because they had all kinds of like recreations of scenes from that episode laid out. So basically it was set up like a carnival. You walk in, there's all these carnival games. There was like a dunk tank. There was like a throw bean bags into laundry baskets. They had darts on balloons, ring toss. There are all kinds of different carnival games, and you could play those to win prizes, whether it be a Roseanne sticker, a Roseanne, I think I got a map of Lanford. There were different DVD seasons you could win of Roseanne. There was like an antenna that you could win so you could get Cozy TV if you don't get it on your cable system. There are all kinds of random prizes. So we just, and also between 12 and 2, if you went, they were serving loose meat sandwiches, which I had no idea what a loose meat sandwich was because I didn't watch the show. But it was more like it's almost like a sloppy Joe, but not as sloppy. it had like no barbecue sauce or anything. It was like, it had like a pickle and some kind of sauce and, I mean, it tasted good. It was like in a little hamburger roll. So we made sure when we went that it was around noon so that we would get our loose meat sandwich. They also had some other things going on. They had like a performer singing some country music. I don't know if they're there all the time, but when we went, there were some people dressed like some of the characters. There was like a John Goodman. There was like people dressed like the different characters. I don't know if they were going to do a show or.
They had it throughout the day. One of the things that was in the press note packet was a list of times, and they had different actors playing different characters, and they were recreating different scenes. But they actually had like somebody coming out and doing, you know, like quiet on the set, and like they were filming them when they were doing it. And when I was there, they had the Loretta Lynn impersonator and the lady playing Roseanne singing a song. And then they also filmed a scene with the lady that was playing Roseanne at the sort of the lunchbox, the Lanford lunchbox place where they were handing out the sandwiches. But they had different scenes throughout the day. So it depended on when you were there, what scene might be being done and which act, you know, which people pretending to be the actors playing these roles would be there.
Yeah, they did say, oh, and Loretta Lynn's going to do a performance. I'm like, it's not the real Loretta Lynn, unless she's really hard up. She's doing performances at Comic-Con on this Lanford Days thing. But if she's even still alive. But I figured it had to be an actress. We didn't really go and watch. They kept on trying to get us to go over and watch the performance.
Yeah, well, if you go out to at the TV-aholic on either Twitter or Instagram, you can watch, because I filmed it while they were recording and it's posted out there. So you can find that and see what they were doing. It was relatively well done in that they picked an episode of Roseanne that had a carnival, so they could play off of that to create a carnival atmosphere to advertise Cozy TV. But I felt like overall, with the things that they were giving away and stuff like that, did it more advertise Roseanne than it advertised Cozy TV? Which seemed weird, because Cozy TV would be the thing you would want to say that you want to find Cozy TV that has things like Roseanne and old sitcoms like that playing on it. That was the only thing that was kind of odd about it to me. And that it was a bit of a hike from where the main stuff of that was happening. But then so was the Jurassic Park one. So it's not like everything was right there in the gas lamp district.
Yeah, that one was interesting because I went at a different time from everybody else. And I think it was later in the week. So it was a bit quieter. And I think it was earlier in the morning. But certainly, you know, it was good that they did the theme around that episode, which I thought was good. And they actually gave away scripts as well from that episode, which was kind of fun for people that like that kind of stuff, like me. And the only thing, as Jason mentioned, you know, if you're going to promote something, I was kind of surprised, like with their swag, that they weren't kind of combining the two. But yeah, so that was a little bit bizarre, but I'm sure no one else really cared about those things when it comes to swag. But
I did want the Cozy TV mug, but they said they're out of them when I asked. Yeah.
I'm just saying they gave away a Cozy, but it was for Antenna Direct TV for the antenna, not for Cozy TV. How are you giving away a Cozy, a drink Cozy, for Cozy TV, and it's not for Cozy TV? I don't know. It just didn't make any sense to me.
it brands itself. Yeah. It's a Cozy for that.
For TV, yes.
As you alluded to, the next stop was the Jurassic Park 30th anniversary activation. So this was a bit of a hike into a somewhat sketchy location, but once we got there, it was really nice. You walk in, it like the outside of the building was covered in like a gate, which almost looked like those security fences with the lights on them that protect Jurassic Park. Then you walk in and you walk through like a tent, and then you go inside, and there were basically tons of different photo ops for, like, you can first lay down and get hit with the stinging spit of the, I think it's Dilophosaurus or something. I can't remember the name. So some of us got videos of that or photos of that, like when the spit comes out and attacks you. Then you could also get a photo of the T-Rex attacking you on a toilet. And then also the velociraptors in the kitchen. So you could lay down and while it's looking for you in that metal kitchen, they had like a control panel that you could press buttons on and take a photo. They had like the big sign that was falling. That's like when dinosaurs roamed or whatever that falls at the end of the movie. Then afterwards, when you walk out, they had a like the gift shop where you could, it was weird, you could go and look at stuff, but you had to order it off Amazon. Yeah. Which is a little odd. Why not sell it there? But they also gave you some boxed water that had dinosaurs on it and a little box of dinosaur shaped chicken nuggets for you to eat afterwards.
A little product placement tie-in there with the that was pretty well done. What are you saying, Kyle? Sketchy part. I mean, there was only a homeless guy asking us if we wanted to buy drugs on the way out.
I didn't get asked. I saw him sampling drugs from a crack pipe.
Well, he was flashing it like, hey, do you want some of this?
Yeah.
And it was not the best part of town, I suppose, where he had to go to.
Surprisingly didn't look sketchy, but there were sketchy people.
It didn't look so sketchy on the one side, but when you came out the backside of the building, it was a little more sketchy, just one block further. But what did you think of that one, Lynn?
Yeah, I was going to save that segue for the weirdest, strangest things that happened at Comic-Con. So that was one of my things. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Jurassic Park since it came out, so a lot of the little photo op places I couldn't really remember, and my photo op didn't work. I was the only one when the spitting thing with the dried ice, it didn't come out, so I look very weird going ah when there's nothing there. It's just kind of amusing. I'm here for the comedy. Yeah, I thought it was really well done. I mean, and it was nice to be in an activation that had some air conditioning, especially walking, doing that big trek over there. And I could see why they couldn't do that kind of activation outside with all the things that they had there. I thought it was really well done. It was kind of strange that they weren't selling the stuff in the gift shop, that you couldn't buy it there, but maybe it's some of it's still being, I don't know, crated or whatever, or they just didn't want to schlep it all the way out to Sketchytown. I don't know.
They didn't want to schlep a whole bunch of stuff out every day.
Especially because it was in an outdoor tent, basically, in the parking lot. But it was nice that they had, like, sort of like that, I don't know what you call it, like, raffia, but like the straw huts kind of thing, and like a lot of spaces for people to sit around and eat their dino nuggets, which were quite tasty, especially after a long day where you haven't eaten since 6 a.m. So that was really good. And yeah, I mean, aside from the sketchiness outside, I think it was well done. And it was nice that they had sort of like a person like walking around with like the baby dinosaur and with the headset and everything, and would walk around and talk to the kids. And that person was really good. And the kids got to interact with it. So that was,
I interacted with it too. I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah. So kids, like I said, kids like Kyle, we're all big kids when we go to Comic-Con. So yeah, that was really cool. And yeah, it was kind of a nice touch to have like the boxed water with the information about dinosaurs on the back, which was kind of neat too.
And so then my final activation, which I visited twice
from the dinosaur island to the base of the Paramount Mountain.
Yes. So it was the Paramount Lodge, which was made out to look outside. It looked like a frozen lodge with snow and trees. Then when you walk in, there was all kinds of different stations that you go through. So there were like two halves on the right half. First, you walk in, there was a station that was made up to look like the Krusty Krab. Yeah, that's what it's called. The Krusty Krab. And you go in and get your photo taken like you were an employee at the Krusty Krabs. You'd stand there and they take an instant photo and give it to you. Or actually first when you walked in, they handed you it was like a badge lanyard, like a retractable badge lanyard and, some coupons to,
drink like a tickets. Lift ticket.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a lift ticket if you were going skiing or something like that.
I haven't been skiing in decades.
Me either, but I'm pretty sure I think that's the gist of what they were going for.
And they also gave you like 2 drink coupons and a free burger coupon, which I'll get to once I've done the loop of what we saw. So after next to the Krusty Krab, then there was like a station for Lioness or Special Ops Lioness, which is a new show that recently started on Paramount Plus. And so this was like a test to see if you're ready to join the special ops team. Like first they gave you a choice of 4 different puzzles and you had like a minute to try to put the puzzle together. Then after that, they did some word puzzles that you had to figure out. Then after that, they had you try to pull this block out of a small circular hole in a box. And then after you did these, they figured out which special ops agent you were like and gave you a little card with their information on it. Then next to that was a photo op for Yellow Jackets. So it was set up to look almost like a woodsy area with like a little place to hang your jacket. Then you walk behind these mirrors and I couldn't get this thing to really work. There was supposed to be something there in the mirror reflection that you saw when you took your selfie picture, but I wasn't really seeing anything.
Yeah, that part didn't work if it was too sunny, especially the time of day that we were there. The sun was coming like at the perfect angle to hit like right in. The lady that was running that booth was just like in a spotlight. And so when we went through that part too, it was supposed to, you know, reveal something in the mirror that you could kind of see a little bit towards the bottom, but it never really worked because it was too, you know, the way the sunlight was reflecting off of the mirror behind you and things, it was not making it work. And so I have a feeling that a good portion of the time it was during the day. And so if you went, were you there like later in the day?
I went the exact same time both days. So it didn't help. It was 1 o'clock both days.
Yeah. So probably later. Yeah. Once the sun is starting to peek out and then go down, it was like, maybe it worked earlier in the morning when the sun was the other way. But yeah, I think, they should have figured out a way to cover that section of it, because it wasn't working for a lot of people.
Yeah, but I mean, the nice thing, after you dealt with the photo, you walked out and they hand you a nice deck of cards for Yellow Jacket, so that...
You didn't get a jar of honey? Nice.
No, they didn't give any honey. They were supposed to give honey at that one?
I don't know, that's where they handed us on the... when we went to the press preview part for that...
That must
Wednesday.
Have been a press-only thing. Yeah.
Maybe. They were given a little jar of honey along with the deck of cards.
But then next to that was a little refreshment stand for Transformers Rise of the Beasts, where you could get either like a coffee or I think an iced tea was the other option at that station. In the other half of the thing, so when you walk through, there was someone dressed up like for Good Burger 2. They're dressed up in outfits for Good Burger. They're like, welcome to Good Burger. How may I help you? Or whatever I've never seen the movie. Whatever that. They're just constantly yelling that. And they had trays of either cheeseburgers or I think vegan burgers, because they either had a C or a V on it. On the boxes, and you could cash in one of your coupons for a hamburger. First time I went, I waited too long, and like they were no longer serving the hamburgers. So I, of course, had to get one the second time I went. But then that area is a much darker, like a bar area. So on the right side, they had like a station where you could go and get a caricature done of yourself for Star Trek. So you could choose your race, you could choose your uniform, from which show you wanted the uniform from, some other thing, like what you want to hold from different shows. And I think there was a fourth. Choice. So I didn't make it there the first time. You pretty much had to get in line right away. So the second time I went, I got in line for that, and I chose I was a Vulcan with Lower Decks uniform and Lower Decks tricorder. And so they drew that and gave me the sketch afterwards. But also in that area, they had a Ink Master tattoo station, or they had two different stations. You could choose from different tattoos. I had an awesome SpongeBob tattoo for about 24 hours because
so
the thing
was
I really wanted to get it freshened up the next day for the plane. Yeah, so no one messed with me. Someone did actually ask me, I was waiting in the press area for my press room, and someone was like, is that a real tattoo? Like, this is like a bright yellow SpongeBob. He like looks all like,
you never
weird.
Know you're at Comic-Con, there's probably somebody that had one.
I would never get a tattoo, but I have to say I was pretty impressed with this tattoo, this spray-on tattoo.
Looked
it was pretty
really
cool.
Good.
But then next to that, they also had a little station for 1923, I think it was, where basically you could walk in and you could get like an old-timey photo taken of yourself, which they'd print out and give to you, and later they emailed you a version of it. And they also had a bar in there where you could get either bottles of root beer or some kind of whiskey based alcoholic drink. I don't really drink much. I had about half of mine. It was the strongest thing I've ever had. I ended up giving the rest to Amory to finish because there was no way I was finishing that, or I was walking if I did finish it, because we were running out of time and I would have had to gulp that thing down. But I think that was all the stations in there.
There was a Pet Cemetery station in there too.
Oh, there was. Yes. Yeah. So you could put on some weird mask and take a photo. I didn't really want to wear the mask that hundreds of other people had put in their face. So I just had a photo taken, just standing there.
It had a lot of different things, but like you said, like even when we went, there was already a long line for the caricature one, and we were never getting it done by the time we had to go. So we weren't able to go and do that. And we didn't go because Kyle's not only the king of activations, he's doubling up on some of them and going twice. And weren't able to make it back to it to try that again. But yeah, that was one of those things that we were telling people, though, that we knew that we're going, was if you are going and you want the caricature, as soon as your group goes in, just go straight for that line and get in there and do that. Because then the rest of the time that you were in there, you could easily go around and do the other stuff, because there wasn't, you know, there wasn't really too much of a line for most of those things, the other photo ops and stuff like that in there. But yeah, what did you think of the lodge, Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, Paramount went all out in terms of like signage and displays and stuff like that. So there was a lot of stuff, like not even just in the activation too. So like you knew that, you know, Yellow Jackets was a Paramount show and all the cool stuff. Kyle is so right about the 1923 thematic drinks. And that was kind of a scene from the movie where they did the photo op, was that Faith Hill's character and this other woman end up getting tanked on this bourbon. And I was feeling no pain. And thankfully, I don't know, depending on how you look at it, I went for the photo op for the Pet Cemetery thing. So I put my drink down, so I didn't finish it. But yeah, it definitely packed a punch. I was hoping that I'd, you know, be recruited to be a spy in Lioness with the puzzle thing. And I got most of it done, save for one spot. Jason would not be recruited because his listening skills were bad and he didn't hear the rule for the word puzzle, which was kind of amusing because I did it first and we were side by side going through the listing so we could get some photo and video stuff. And so not only did he see me do the puzzles and the
attention so I wouldn't hear the answer, so I could just sit down and go, oh, it's this.
Oh, the word puzzle. Yeah. To me, I rattled off the word puzzle like in seconds. I looked at it, said the answer, looked at it, said the answer. He's like, oh, wow, good. Like, I didn't even have to think on those. I thought those were so easy, the word puzzles. The first puzzle, I failed completely.
They were, except that the way I heard the guy say it was that instead of trying to column one, column two, column three, solve the puzzle, I thought you were trying to solve a puzzle by pulling something from column one and column two and column three.
Oh, maybe you had a different word puzzle, because mine, no. It was just like four different word puzzles, one after another. I just read them all off.
Yeah.
But it was column one and there was four words, and that was...
It was like top secret. It was like secret and secret. Yeah, and the forgive, top forget. Secret was underlined or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And stuff like that. And, you know, there was column two and then there was column three with words in it. But the way that I heard it when the guy said what you were supposed to do is I thought you weren't... So I wasn't looking at all the stuff in column one by itself. I was looking at the stuff in column one and trying to combine it with something from column two and column three to come up with something, because I thought that's what he said that you were supposed to do. And so I wasn't even looking at it. And so when he said what the thing was, I was like, oh, well, duh. Like, I didn't even look at the thing, because I'm pretty sure I would have come up with them if I was looking at them.
See, I didn't correctly. I didn't listen to their instructions. I just looked at them and started answering.
Yeah. So basically, probably helped. Three of us would make terrible recruits because our listening skills are bad and we couldn't finish. But yeah, I think we all because
Kyle's going rogue, like right off the bat, he's not even listening to the instructor.
Right, he's off grid.
And then I'm hearing the wrong instructions, and
I'm still trying to get the brick out of the plastic box. My ring got caught on it, but. Yeah, that was kind of interesting.
I cut skin off my hand pulling it out of that thing.
You took one for the team as a rogue operator. That's right. Yeah, but the thing as a whole was really good. Yeah, I kind of felt bad for the people who created the little activation for Yellow Jackets. Like, I would have thought after like the first day of the press preview when the sun was blaring that they couldn't have rotated that thing a little bit or something, that so maybe the sun wouldn't catch it.
put something over the top of at least that section, just like that section. Yeah. So the sun wasn't, it was just a little darker over there.
Yeah. They were trying to get some air circulating because it was open air. There was a bit of mesh netting over it, but yeah, it was well done. It, in the press preview, it got really packed. You know, so it was good that you got the caricature, Kyle, because it was, you know, nonstop there. I can't believe that I schlepped a plastic cup because I have a thing against plastic cups.
Oh, I just like the cup. I took it with me. I liked the blue cup.
The blue cup was fine, but yeah, Jason has a thing for plastic cups, which is kind of a pet peeve. That's a podcast for another day, not TV related podcasting. But anyway, they did have really, you know, I did think they kept it really thematic and everything. Which was really cool. And the other burgers, Whataburger.
The Good Burger.
Good Burger.
Good Burger. I'm just going to name every kind of burger there is.
But it was
they
good.
Went really, so it was... They went really quickly at the press preview. I think everybody was just hungry and very warm. But yeah, did you have any more activations? I think you hit everything, didn't you, Kyle?
There was other activations I didn't go to. There was one for Haunted Mansion, I guess, which I found out later. So I never tried to set anything up for that.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was one there until like we were walking by where the entrance was or whatever. And I was like, oh, apparently they're having.
I think that was a very last minute one by the sounds of it.
That was a bulk of the con was going to activations because there was plenty of time. You weren't just trying to get to them early in the morning or whatever, or hoping to get to it on preview night or something. You know, we did like the Jurassic Park one at like 5 o'clock or something, and we did multiple ones. I think some of the things too, though, with the activations of doing the sort of reservation ahead of time where you have like a time slot, you don't have to go and line up all day to go through the activation. You just show up a few minutes before your time slot and then you get taken in as long as you're there by the time that's on your ticket.
Yeah, that was good as long as you knew when the reservations were going up, because
yeah,
those
that
things
was the
would
only...
sell out in a second.
That's the only flaw is if you didn't get that ahead of time. But I think like some of our group, you know, people got multiple ones, so they were able to share with friends that weren't able to get it when it went live and stuff like that. So,
and you should preface it by saying press friends for press things, that we weren't trying to scam anything.
No, most of these reservations weren't press reservations.
Yeah, but like the Jurassic Park and some of the other ones were.
The lodge and stuff wasn't press.
Yeah, the times that like Kyle went to the lodge, like those were through the regular scheduled times that you could get and stuff like that. So, but I think it helps, especially with where some of those are, like, you know, where the lodge was, it's right there in the second block of Fifth in the gas lamp district. Like, you wouldn't want to have just a giant line down, you know, down Fifth or wrapped around the block or something like that of people trying to get in there, with all the other, you know, restaurants and businesses and stuff like that. So it makes a lot of sense to do it that other way. All right, we'll move on. There's lots of activations. I got into the convention floor, mainly just walked around and looked around a little bit. Didn't do a whole lot, but you did a couple of things, at least on preview night, right, Kyle?
Preview night was so busy. I really only had an hour on preview night because we had the Anne Rice thing. So the only thing I got done on preview night was they had like a Star Trek Strange New Worlds booth where first you could do like this little video of you sitting in the captain's chair. And then they had another video of you like looking around like you're in some strange new world. Like you got the choice of four different backdrops and they would take like a little short video of you there. I tried to do other things, but everything, like, lines were packed. But I went back again another day to do some other ones. So they had one for Ghosts, which was way away from all the other TV stuff, which was, so it was a bit of a hike to get to. I think I ended up with.
It really was. It you couldn't be any, almost any further to the other side of the convention center from where the vast majority of the TV related things were.
And that one too, like they were kept on trying to cap off the line, but I'm like, no, I want to stay here. And I end up waiting in the line probably about an hour for that one. But basically you walk in, like the door opens up and you walk into this room. There's like all these bookcases and other things around you. And then you just hear voices coming from every direction, and the ghosts are going to determine your fate and see if you should be quote unquote sucked off. which is the term they use in the show for the ghosts that are returning to heaven or wherever they're going to. So basically you just stand there and you hear all these voices, and then it just then the door opens up and you walk through, and then the screen says you've been sucked off. and this guy filming you on video, which I think my video was messed up. I don't think the guy with the camera was supposed to be in my video. It was just a very odd looking video, unless he was a ghost. But
yeah, there's a video. Yeah, there is a video artifact ghost in your video, and probably a lot of people's video that day.
Yeah, I don't think he realized what he was doing. But then they also gave you a T-shirt that said, like, I've been ghosted at Comic-Con or something like that. So I got a shirt with that one. There was another one that was like a for the animated show Dig Man, which is on, I think I want to say Comedy Central. I think it's Andy Samberg who does the main voice. So that one I stood there, and they have you just walk around a bit, and like a camera goes like a 360 around you while you're doing that, and it takes like a little video of you moving in this area with, it looks like a rocky area with all the characters and cardboard cutouts. So I did that, and they gave me some pins afterwards. They had like Lego had a nice thing that was the Lego Brick Buster. It was like a old Blockbuster, but it was all with Legos and stuff. So they had all kinds of like fake boxes that look like VHS boxes and things. And you walk in, they were also like, I guess, handing out all kinds of stuff like membership cards and other random things like VHS type boxes of Lego stuff. If you came at certain times or did certain things and took certain photos, I didn't really pay attention. I was just wandering around, walking the floor, and I happened to see it. So I walked in there to take a look at it. But other than that, I really didn't do much else on the floor. I just, for what Paramount had was they had this scavenger hunt where you had to take pictures in their app of different things, four of which were on the show floor. And then it would unlock different stamps on this thing. And if you unlocked all seven stamps, you could go back to that Paramount Lodge and show them your phone, and they would give you some swag. So I did that. On preview night, since we knew we weren't getting anything else, we just went around and took the four photos on the floor so that we could unlock that stuff. So when you finally went back to this special section at the lodge, they would give you like a little mini backpack and a like a metal cup. Some people got pins, I guess, also, but they were out of those when I went. So they were giving out that for doing their little scavenger.
Check the front packet on the bag.
Oh, you think there was one in there?
There was one in mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where we found them.
Yeah, so they were, there was something in the front little pocket on the little shoulder bag. Yeah, we also went back and got the bag and the cup, but we both got silver. They only were handing out the silver tin Paramount cups when we went back. We were hoping for the blue ones to match our plastic blue ones that we had.
They seemed to change it up because I went back again and they were handing out the blue ones instead of the silver ones.
Yeah, I think there was apparently also a black one.
Yeah, they had all three the first time I went by there. They gave you your choice of all three. And then later on, they seemed to be out of everything except the cups. So first they had just the silver cups on the table. Later, when we came out of the lodge, they only had the blue cups on the table. So they seemed to be like just slowing down what they were giving out near the end because they must have been running out of stuff.
Yeah, or whatever boxes that they had available that were still left, you're right.
Yeah, ours was the Confidential Floors actually went in on preview night just to look around because had time between a couple things and hadn't done that in, not just because hadn't been there in a while, but even prior to that hadn't really gone into the convention floor for quite some time. And then we also walked in Sunday night, like basically right before they're starting to kick everybody out. And we started on one side and we were just walking across, and it was funny to watch as they were starting at the back rows and pushing people forward towards the doors. And, you know, you could still walk about, a row up, but then pretty soon they were up in that row and you couldn't get to anything past that until finally everybody's out the door. But I love the, you know, some of the booths, people are, you know, they're done. They're packing up. They're trying to get out of there. Other booths are like, we're still open. We're still selling stuff. Like until everybody was kicked out, they were still open for business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the enterprising ones that didn't have big ticket items, like one ended up, I think because we were being herded down another aisle, ended up getting some Disney collectible pins. You know, they had everything on corkboard. So I think for them, it was easy to tear down. But then, you know, others that, you know, had the books and the artwork and stuff like that were tearing stuff down. But it was that I have to say, I mean, it is the end of the con, but it is kind of a good time to be going in just towards the end because there's less people. So you can snap a few shots of things that you might not have been able to see due to the crowds and everything.
And there was a few booths just tossing stuff out because they were like, we don't want to carry this stuff away, you know?
Well, yeah. I saw a bunch offering like 20% off everything on Sunday when I went back in. So they were all like trying to just have sales and because they don't want to have to ship this stuff back. Like it's cheaper for them just to sell at a discount.
We told a couple of our friends to hit the activations before they closed up. And there was, I don't know if it was exhibitors that were bringing stuff back that didn't fit into wherever they were going to. And they were giving out stuff just on the street, like behind where the activations were and things like that. So yeah, I think people were definitely unloading. The lineup for the FedEx shipping was insane. I think a good chunk of those were not exhibitors. I think they were actually participants that had spent
people that
a
were
lot
staying
of money
at the Manchester
and didn't
Grand.
Want to pay for ship.
Yeah.
They didn't want to have to spend time. Well, not even that. There was actually on the floor too, Jason. I don't know if you saw that, but
yeah, there was
on the convention
too.
Floor.
But we went through the Manchester Grand, like, because that's where the if you got a ticket in one of the panels to pick up some swag or something like that, they, you know, some things giving away posters or T-shirts and stuff like that with the panel. They were doing that over the Manchester Grand, and that first on, I think it was Sunday, we went through, and the FedEx thing was open and just stacks and stacks and stacks of boxes already waiting to go out on Monday of, you know, stuff that people had bought or got at Comic-Con, shipping it back instead of trying to carry it on the plane with them.
Shout out to Southwest for 2 free checked bags.
Yeah, that's right. Came in handy with the second bag that we took lightly with a few things in it, just in case we had some stuff to come back, and it was fun.
I always pack an extra empty bag, and I had to use it because, A, I couldn't fit everything, and B, it was going to be over the 50 pounds if I did manage to fit everything. So I had a carry-on and my personal item.
All right, so we'll move on to what was the best event you attended at night, Kyle?
So there were a few events. The best was easily the Nat Geo party. And they also had some nice swag that they gave out at it. Like, which was like an insulated bag and like a Bear Grylls flask. But I mean, they had past appetizers. They had like a little taco bar once they finally restocked it. And they had like a little ice cream station that you could make some food. And they had like a little photo op that you could pretend you were up in the Arctic freezing. I never did post that photo of me and Amory. where we had decided, one of us, first we had talked about whether we were going to act like we were cold or we act that we were going to be surprised and looking around. So I started off being surprised and looking around. She started off being cold. Then she told me we're cold. So then I switched to being cold instead of just surprised. It was the oddest looking video. We didn't bother to retake it.
Yours was far and above better than ours.
Yeah, that's sure. Probably still better than ours because I don't know what I was doing.
There were some other parties, or did you want to talk about that at all? Or the
well, that was of the. Well, of the couple that I ended up going to, that was the best one, just because I just like that location, the fourth floor pool, deck bar area at what is now the Margaritaville Hotel, used to be the Solamar. It's just a good spot for, you know, it's kind of a cool spot. Since it's open air, it doesn't get super loud because you don't just have the sound just bouncing back all over you. So you can actually talk to people, and then they had a pretty good selection of food. Unlike the jury duty one, which was still cool, the way they set it up and the venue was a cool spot, but it was so loud that you had to yell into somebody's ear if you wanted to say anything. But they did have the prize wheel going at that one.
Yeah, so for the jury duty, they kind of made it look like the Margaritaville. Oddly, that we were at the Margaritaville for the other party, but here they try to make it look like a Margaritaville, like the episode of Jury Duty. They had like some props and stuff set up when you first walked in, some props from the show. They had like a cake set up, like the cake from one of the episodes that you could get some cake. They had some other stations where you could figure out what juror you were like, and there was like some photo op type of stations. And then there was the prize wheel, but it wasn't a prize wheel just for jury duty. It was a prize wheel for all kinds of Amazon freebie shows. So you could win like a Judge Judy mug. You could win a jury duty shirt. You could win like a, I think a Law and Order, maybe a shirt. There was some kind of shirt for another legal type show. There was like a, there was a Alex Rider prize, which is what I won when I spun, which turned out to be a notepad and a pen. And the guy made sure that's invisible ink. Like, I should be excited that I want a little pad and some invisible ink to write on that pad. I have yet to try my
try and see if it works.
I forget what's the big prize that everyone seemed to be going for were these stuffed unicorns for Primo, which is actually a pretty good show. You should watch it if you haven't seen it. That's an Amazon freebie. But yeah, I forget what you won, some mystery prize, right, Jason?
Yeah, I got the mystery prize, which was just a bag, but it's sort of like one of those bags that feels like it's made out of duct tape almost, or some, you know, weird thing like that, which was, I don't know, an odd mystery prize, because you would think, oh, the mystery prize is going to be like something really cool that's different than any of the things that you could get on the thing, and not as much. It is but then Lynn spun, and she Primo. Got the, yeah, she got Primo because she got the choose whatever you want.
I think one of the other prizes was like a tote bag for the TV show Neighbors. I think that was one of the other prizes that you could get.
Yeah,
there was a Judge Judy mug, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a 10-ounce mug or 8-ounce mug or something. Yeah.
I have to say, the Primo unicorn, which is pretty cool, is not an easy thing to pack.
I can imagine. I almost didn't want to win that because the heck am I going to fit that in a bag?
It filled up half the carry-on.
It was like a foot by a foot by like a half a foot. It was, like, yeah.
I mean, at least it's a stuffed animal, so it kind of squished a little bit, but it's still
it's padding for your bag.
It was, yeah, it was just, it was to, you pack other things around it, and it was.
It's your in-flight pillow, is that what you said?
That almost.
It was getting close to be one.
That was the joke. If there wasn't enough room for it, she was just going to wear it around her neck like it was your in-flight pillow.
Or I was going to use my fancy new travel hat magnet thing. And attached to my purse.
Just by the
unicorn tail would have been flopping in the breeze attached to my backpack.
The next night, they had basically retransformed that entire venue for Good Omens. But it didn't really have any of these, like, interactive stations. Instead, it became like a scavenger hunt. So basically when you walked in, they gave you the choice of either heaven or hell, and you got a list of things that you were supposed to find in the room and take photos and post them on social media, and then you had a chance of winning a prize. So there wasn't a nice prize wheel or guarantee of anything. They gave you like a poster when you left, but yeah, you spend a long time walking around. I was glad I picked heaven when I went in because it was a much easier list. Like for hell, there was one of these things that you had to descend into hell, which basically you had to get in this line that was longer, like the full length of the building, just to go in and do this thing to take your photo op of you going down this thing. Meanwhile, mine was just you had to go press a button on the elevator, which was wide open. And because you didn't have to actually go into the elevator or do anything, you had to take a picture of yourself pressing the button. And so it was so much faster than that line if you had hell to try to do that. But it was a bit disappointing. They had some food there, but it wasn't as loud like you said the other party was, and you really couldn't do much, like, besides if you were trying to do the scavenger hunt, that pretty much kept you busy the whole time because you had to do it by 11 p.m. But yeah, the only other party thing that I went to, there was like this gala games party that had like a Mexican food truck and an ice cream truck outside, which was pretty decent food there. And that wasn't that crowded. It was pretty nice. That was over after the Jurassic Park thing. So that's when we walked back from that in the sketchy neighborhood. But, they also gave us like a t-shirt and a pint glass at that party.
What about you, Lynn?
Yeah, I thought the Nat Geo party was really good. It was thematic. They had some really cool things. I was so tempted. I think that was on like mile, probably in like mile 35. I think at that point,
just stick your feet in the pool.
Just stick my feet in the pool. I honestly, if I didn't, I was another 5 minutes away from doing it, but I didn't want to get kicked out of the place and then lose the chance of ever going back to a Nat Geo party. But they even did the party was surrounded by the rooftop patio where the pool was. And they even put an ad in the pool, like almost like a, what's the word? I'm tongue-tied right now. A title of one of the shows on the floor of the pool. And then, of course, across the hotel itself, behind it. They even had like a paint and sip thing where they had instructions on how you could paint like landscapes because, you know, there's a lot of the Bear Grylls shows and things like that. They did have also a little Q&A part with one of the hosts of the show, but I think he kind of snuck out and was probably looking for the taco stand, which was cool. The jury duty thing was pretty good too, with all of the different things. And there was, you know, a lot of food. There was another event that we went to that shall not be named that had the saddest hors d'oeuvres I've ever seen in my life. That was actually kind of embarrassing. Like at that point, you know, I don't know if I'd want to be hosting a party that had something that sad looking. So it will not be named, but yeah, the view was good, but
yeah. The spot was cool, but that was about it.
Yeah. And the lines, that's the one thing I have to say. And I kind of alluded to the fact that, not saying that people were scamming, definitely not people in our group, but I think some of the invitations for like jury duty and Good Omens, there was, I think, a bit of confusion about what was like priority access. And I think that got a little bit confusing for a lot of people, and the lines were crazy. And so we had RSVP'd through press for jury duty and we were in the wrong line. And when we left, or sorry, for Nat Geo, I should say that. Yeah, it was Nat Geo, now that I realize. For Nat Geo, we had left when we found out we were in the wrong line. We went to the party. We were there for a couple of hours and came back. And the people that were in the line behind us were still waiting in line. Because obviously there's a capacity issue, but it was a really popular party. And I think that is also another thing for the convention, for Comic-Con itself, because there were not these big, huge, big ticket blockbuster things, people were willing to spend time waiting in line for a party and stand in line. And there were a lot of people pre-gaming parties in line, heading over to the drugstore and grabbing some things to drink before they got into the party. So that was kind of, maybe that might segue into one of your other items on the list here.
But first, real quick, any TV news? Mine was that they actually gave a premiere date for The Continental, which will be September 22nd for the first episode. Anything that you heard, Kyle? Because like most of the time, when you're in press rooms or even if you're in panels or doing activations, if you're not in the thing where it gets announced, you tend to just completely miss it when you're there. And sometimes it'd be like a couple days later and you're like, oh, that got announced yesterday? I didn't even totally miss it.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to much of the news. I, like you said, the Continental release date was the main thing that I was excited about. I also was excited to hear about the musical Star Trek episode. That one, that show I tend to just get caught up once it finally gets released on disc. But I will be looking forward to seeing that and the crossover episode that was screened whenever I get around to catching up on that season.
Yeah, I found some news when I did the Snoopy activation, which was really cute. I got a chance to sneak in and see it before they opened up, which was a really super, super popular activation. Their shops were capped. Their exclusives were sold out like so fast. But there is a new Snoopy inflatable. Why can't I think of words today? Balloon. Oh my goodness. An inflatable. I thought there was a special word, like the inflatable balloons that you see in the parade for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. There is a new Snoopy one coming out. It's a camper Snoopy. So that was my news, even though I can't effectively say what a balloon is today and announce it. But it was pretty cool. It looks like it's going to be a cute one.
All right, so next, the best, weirdest, strangest, or whatever thing you saw while roaming around. I think we sort of already mentioned one of them, which was being offered drugs on the way out of the Jurassic Park activation. And then the other one for me was just Barbies everywhere.
Yeah, I still think I win for being sideswiped by a transformer and scaring the daylights out of me in the convention hall while waiting for the very popular Snoopy items. Yeah, I was just standing there and all of a sudden I feel this whoosh and I literally got almost knocked over from this gigantor transformer that was walking, who apparently there is more than meets the eye because he probably couldn't see anything. That threw me. So I think that was probably right. The weirdest thing and the spookiest thing, because it literally like it almost knocked me off my feet. And I am a pretty sturdy girl. So that was kind of surprising. And the fact that we were, you know, the post Jurassic Park was a bit odd considering, I don't know why any of us look like we'd be up for doing that kind of stuff. After you know, Jurassic little, I'm not sure.
some little latent
be interesting
comic
swag. Yeah, it'll be your unique swag.
the late night party action.
Yeah, for me, it was when I was walking through the convention center, and all of a sudden I came across a mob of Indiana Jones cosplayers, and I took a photo of it and posted it, and I didn't even notice until afterwards, until my brother commented on the post that, like, way back, right in the middle, just as the indies are opening up, there's like a tiny Short Round cosplayer and also like the evil guy from Temple of Doom standing back there. And it, like, I couldn't have framed the photo more perfect had I tried to actually take that photo. And
I didn't even notice that. And I thought that was such a great shot as it was.
And, yeah, if you go back to that photo and zoom in, you can see the tiny Short Round right in the middle of the photo. And, like, I had five different photos to choose from. I just happened to pick that one. They're not in any of the other photos. Like, it's just a weird, weird, like, coincidence.
Yeah, well, on the topic of Indiana Jones, those are the type of interesting things, is like just walking along and there's just two dudes dressed as Indiana Jones just outside the convention center, just leaning up against the wall, just chatting with each other. You know, just like just probably walking along and didn't even know each other, but they were wearing the same costume. And so they just started chatting. Always fun with stuff like that at Comic-Con. And move on to the next question, which is, what's the best thing you bought and or piece of swag that you got? Kyle, what's the best thing that you have sitting in your suitcase that you won't see again until next year?
So at the Hulu Animayhem, they gave this really cool looking 2D animated backpack. It looks like it's like a 2D animated backpack when you put it on. And then they also gave like this like half carton of egg-shaped Futurama pins along with that. I thought those were both pretty cool. And then just all the random swag from the Paramount Lodge with the yellow jacket playing cards, that shoulder bag, and the cool aluminum cup. So yeah, there was quite a bit of nice swag this year. I also got I had given blood on the Wednesday morning, and they gave you like this Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirt for giving blood that looked pretty nice.
How about you, Lynn?
Yeah, I'm all about the swag, and I agree with Kyle. I would have stood in line probably for an hour and a half to get that Animayhem backpack, because it is super cool. And not only is it super cool swag, it's actually functional. Like, it's a decent size backpack that I think will hold a lot of stuff. So I think it will be very useful. And yeah, I'm all about the bags, the Paramount bag, which I wore last night to go see Mission Impossible. It was is a really good one. I also, speaking of bags, and I didn't get the chance to talk about it in the activation, which is terrible because I meant to when we got sidetracked. But I went to the Box Lunch activation with in partnership with EW, and they had a truck, and they were basically, if you had put the hashtag in at their truck, that people would get these tote bags with the mystery prize in it, and they get an ice cream sandwich, and they were giving away Funko Spider-Man and some other things, I think. I'm not too sure what other people got, but at the press activation, I ended up getting a purse from the Nightmare Before Christmas and from their store, and the Funko Spider-Man. So that was pretty cool. And the good thing about that Box Lunch, which I had never heard of before, is actually a retail store which has a lot of philanthropic endeavors in it. So for every purchase that you make of a certain amount, they will donate to one meal to Feeding America. And they were also doing that with the hashtags during Comic-Con up until I think yesterday. So every time you use that hashtag, they were donating a meal for Feeding America, which I thought was really cool. So definitely going to go check out that store actually probably this weekend, because I think, you know, it's pretty cool to have pop culture and, you know, lots of things to buy, but it's kind of nice when you know some money is going to a charity as well.
Yeah, they're basically like a spin-off of Hot Topic. They're owned by the same people, so it's a lot of the same stuff that Hot Topic sells. I had actually visited that truck during non-press times to get the free ice cream sandwich. And I don't think every bag had something. They gave me a bag. Like, mine was more of, like, the plastic bag. They also had some cloth bags I saw they were giving out. But in my bag, I randomly had, like, a Avengers tumbler in mine. But some bags had nothing during the regular time.
Yeah, I wonder if they ran out, or if maybe it was like if you had to show the hashtag. Like,
oh, they had people do that. You had to do that to get the ticket for the ice cream and to get a bag. You had to, like, show that you signed up for their text.
It might have just been random that every so often there was something in the bags. Like,
that's true.
Not something in every bag.
I think that was what it was for the maybe press. They put something in every bag, but during regular times, it seemed to just be random.
Yeah, because they had over 3,000 people. Like, the lineup was really long. So, I mean, there's only so much you can stash in a food truck, too, like, in terms of inventory. Because they were not positioned in, like, a pop-up shop or anything else, right? So it's just the truck, yeah.
I saw them in the morning. Like, they had all those bags stored at, like, something on my hotel. Because I could see them pulling out all those bags from, like, a storage room on the side of my hotel. So they had them all there. Like, they were filling those up each morning from that location.
Well, that was definitely quite the surprise for me. And I was actually surprised. I didn't know about this because I'm still a newbie, but there's these Con Ranger merit badges that are really kind of tongue-in-cheek. Different badges that say, you know, like, my first con or whatever. And they did some Snoopy ones, and they did some fun ones like, I stayed hydrated, or I lounged by the pool, and I bought the hydrated lounge by the pool. And I don't know if I earned those merit badges.
Stayed relatively hydrated, but we didn't get to lounge by the pool much.
No, considering I brought all my swim stuff and was planning to hit the beach, did not happen. But it's a really cool thing, and I definitely think I'll, you know, purchase some of those again. And I have to say, they worked with Snoopy, and they did some for Snoopy, and they were sold out all the time. They had a couple in the Snoopy store that they had where the activation was, which was really cute. Like, you could, you know, write postcards and, like, little campfire things and little vignettes everywhere. But they were sold out almost every day. They were closing out the store. Like, there was one day, I think they were sold out of their merch at like 3:30. Other days, I think it was a little bit later. But even I think on one of the last days, it was lined up at 8:30, 8 o'clock. There was probably about 200 people in line, and it didn't open up until 10. So yeah, that was kind of cool. And I think part of the thing is with those merit badges, you know, they're small, they're easy to bring back. So that was kind of a cool thing. And then I bought some Snoopy stuff for a friend of ours, and I got myself a little Snoopy compass, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, for me, the best swag was the Cozy TV camp mug, and then the Paramount plastic and tin cups that I got. It was very...
You're a cup.
It was very liquid centric.
Just saying that to antagonize.
So you'll never throw away his plastic cup.
Well, that's the one that it antagonizes both of you, because I got the cozy mug that Kyle didn't get, and I got plastic cups that you don't like.
So terrible. Yeah. The Nat Geo tote bag, the cooler bag, was also very awesome, and it makes a very good carry on.
Yeah,
that was, I'm surprised you didn't mention that.
Well, that's what you ended up using as your...
That was my carry-on.
Because we used the carry-on and checked it full of stuff, and then we used one of the Nat Geo bags as Lynn's carry-on in its place. So it's pretty solid, strong bag. It can hold a lot. It didn't have rollers like the other carry-on did, but, you know, it still worked to be able to get all our stuff... that we brought back.
I want to test the cooler bag in the next week or so, but I do think it's going to be a very well used piece of swag.
All right, so what's the best thing you ate at Comic-Con?
I have to say that I ate more donuts that weekend than I've had in the past year. Because Gala Games had a donut truck
right outside your hotel every day.
Right outside my hotel. So I walk out, I see the donut truck.
I didn't think you got any. I thought you were just giving us a heads
up. No line whatsoever. So I just, all you had to do was install one of their apps. But the first day, the woman was like, oh, do you have T-Mobile? Like, the service is pretty bad. You don't have to install it. So I didn't install the game. Just walked up, asked for a donut. They gave me a donut. And then the next day, I decided, well, maybe I'll just check if there's donuts outside. And sure enough, I went out at 8 o'clock or whatever, walked out. Donut truck was back, got my donut. And then, in addition to those, then I had those wonderful beignets on Wednesday night. And so had I had eaten more donuts.
And you had the donuts at the Anna Mayhem, too. So
oh, I forgot. And that. And the mini donuts. At the Anna. So that's 4 different days.
He had so many donuts, he forgot about the donuts, even though he just talked about them.
But yeah, I think I mentioned most of the other food, like the Dino Nuggets were pretty good, the Good Burger. I did have the Build Your Own Nachos. We did that on Wednesday. Yeah, there was lots of food. And I don't think I did buy food. I had to buy the nachos. Yes. Yeah.
Still the best deal around. For me, it was very, it ended up being, sort of Mexican themed in that... It was the nachos at the Bootlegger, still the best deal around. If you're going to Comic-Con and you're there on the Tuesday before, or if you just live in San Diego, $10 build your own nachos, where normally you can choose one thing from every category, but on Tuesdays for $10, you can choose anything from any category. It's become our way to start Comic-Con each year. And then the taco bar at Nat Geo, the Nat Geo lounge party, those were pretty good. And then the chips and queso that we got at Bubs at the ballpark was really good. But also really good because when we got it the second time, we also got the mini corn dogs and tater tots, which are also really good dipped in the queso along with the chips. So that, and then last but not least, obviously... The Dole Whip Freeze from Sweet Things was outstanding, because especially on such a hot and sort of humid week there in San Diego, it was nice to have a nice pineapple frozen drink to cool down with. How about you, Lynn?
Wait a minute. Duff's Cookie didn't even make your list.
Didn't make the list.
Oh my God. How bad was that cookie?
No, it was a good cookie, but it was a tiny little cookie.
Yeah. As for me, I think you guys have pretty much mentioned, I mean, the queso was pretty awesome. The nachos, by that point, I was so ravenous. I was just like, put all the things. So I even put mashed potatoes. I don't even eat potatoes that often. And except apparently at Comic-Con where I have tater tots, you know, and I have mashed potatoes on nachos.
And then we had mashed potatoes on pizza later. So it was...
And I did not have I didn't have that.
You didn't try a piece of
that? Never mind. I did. So apparently it was all the potatoes all the time at Comic-Con this year for me.
Hashtag some of the peppers, hashtag all of the potatoes.
All of the potatoes. Yeah, I think that's going to be the new thing for that place. And then we did, surprisingly, we didn't do a lot of donuts, but we bought a lot of donuts. That makes no sense. But
we didn't have
as many donut opportunities like Kyle did, but we did have the beignets at the activation. And then we went to the donut bar and had some pretty awesome donuts. Had this like strawberries and cream one, and then got some superhero donuts just because, you know, it's Comic-Con. Yeah, I think that was pretty awesome. Honestly, food was it was like get food when you can kind of thing this Comic-Con. So when you did have it, it was like, oh gosh, you know, it was so great. And I have never enjoyed a salad as much as I did the day that we got the queso and the thing, because I hadn't eaten since like 7 o'clock in the morning. So I think it was like, I think I had subsisted on like, you know, one of the little sliders or something, at one of the activations. And then by the time I got that salad, I was just like, this is the best salad I've ever had, Caesar salad I've ever had in my life.
So, yeah, because that's how you make a dinner healthy, is you get chips and queso, mini corn dogs, and tater tots and chicken Caesar salad.
Yes. Yes. It cancels it out. Right. And I'm convinced, and I am still like, with the amount of mileage that I put on my feet, I still like, yeah, it should have, if anything, we should have come back lighter than heavier, because of all the walking we did. But humidity is not our friend, and the donuts did not, you know, counteract. They still made it. They still made an impact anyway.
That's right. All right. So, last thing, anything else, fun worth mentioning?
So for me, the only other thing I can think of is, like, for years, I've always followed the SDC unofficial Comic-Con blog, and they have their little Adventures of Prize Mule, where they take a, where they put up a photo and you're supposed to find the person and win a prize. Usually I'm stuck in press room, so I don't even pay attention to that when I'm actually at the thing. But there was one day I was in my hotel. They posted the photo. It was of the Good Burger wrap on the front of my hotel. So I'm like, I'm right there. So I rush downstairs. By the time I get there, person's gone, didn't win the prize. So I'm about to head back up to my room. All of a sudden, I see another tweeted photo. This time it's the Good Omens 2 wrap, which I know is right around the corner because we had just walked around taking photos of all the wraps like a couple hours earlier. So I run around that corner, and I think the phrase I was supposed to say was, it's mine. So I run up to this random person. I see them holding the mule, and I'm like, it's mine. And so she gives me the prize. I have to take my photo with the two prizes. It was like a Harley Quinn figure and a Transformers figure, not the one that tried to run you over. that was amazing that I just actually was participating in that, which I've seen for years on Twitter during the con, but I've never actually ever tried for anything. But I was just surprised that I actually won something from that prize mule.
That is super cool.
Yeah, this is Kyle like out his window, it's mine.
Well, first I was on the wrong side of the street, and then I ran across the street because I saw her sitting there, and that's when I was like screaming, is it you? It's mine. Like, because I didn't want to just randomly go up to some stranger and yell that.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, I think it's just the random fun of hanging out with friends and stuff like that at various times, whether you're getting some sweet things or just having dinner somewhere or having to kill time while you're standing in line for a party.
Yeah.
How about you, Lynn? Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think some of the fun things were, you know, obviously hanging out with friends. We ended up doing barbecue with our friend Aaron at the Top Gun restaurant, as it's called, and had some barbecue there. Made a new line friend who was awesome because I was getting really defeated at this newbie line. And she kind of grabbed me and pulled me into the fold and moved me up the line. I was in the line, so I'm not saying I butted, but she was like, she saw me waiting. And then a couple of other people who had just walked by got into the line, so she pulled me forward. And so we had a really great conversation. So I think that's the one thing that I hope people try to do a lot when they're in line or different things at different conventions and festivals. I mean, if you look at our group, all of us have sort of indirectly met through other people. And, you know, Kyle met Paul, who will be on the next podcast, you know, just in line and through Twitter and different things. So I think that's a really cool, fun thing. And, you know, just kind of makes it nice. Yeah. And I just think that kind of adds to the fun of waiting in line where you're, you know, chatting with somebody. And she ended up getting this really, I thought this was a fun story. Her husband is Hispanic and is very particular about his Mexican food. And if he's bringing takeout, it's got to stay really hot. So Snoopy had a burrito. I'm going to say it wrong now because I can't say anything, but it was like a burrito tote. And so it was this little tiny tube that could hold your burrito. So she wanted to get that for her husband to keep his burrito warm on the way home from takeout. She thought it was going to save her marriage, and it was really quite amusing. So I thought that was kind of a fun thing. I think it was called burrito. That's what it was, burrito.
The burrito. Nice.
A burrito. And
I heard
so, yeah,
talking
I just thought
about that in line for Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah. So I just thought that was really kind of cool and fun. And you know, when you're waiting for long periods of time, it's just nice to kind of meet people and hear their stories and why they're there and what they've been doing and all that kind of stuff kind of adds to the richness of the festival.
Yeah. All right. So that's all the stuff that we checked out at San Diego Comic-Con 2023. As always, you can let us know what panels and activations and such you went to if you happened to be there, or which things you would have liked to check out at TV Times 3 on Twitter, as well as in the show notes at tvtimes3podcast.com/432, where you can also find links, contact links to each of us. And then next week, we'll be talking a little bit more about Comic-Con with the Paul from howtowatch.tv and Amory from mytakeontv.com. But the next episode will be more shenanigans from Comic-Con. Thank you, Lynn and Kyle, for joining me on episode 432.
Thanks for having me.
You can find the full show notes with start times for each segment at tvtimes3.com. Dang it, I did it again. I still can't do it right.
I didn't even notice it was an error until you stopped yourself.
It's written down in front of me, and I still said...
Well, because you had already veered off the script.
Read your line.